This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Thank you. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, as we look into your word of life this morning, Jehovah, I pray that you will speak to us in the name of Jesus. Let Jesus be revealed to us like never before in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the choir as they go back to their seat. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's encourage them. You can't tell me that this choir has remained the same, because they have not. They have gotten better and better and better and better. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Today is Thanksgiving. We are grateful to God for the past 10 months. There is no doubt in my mind that God has been good. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind, or there shouldn't be any doubt in anyone's mind about the goodness of our God. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, and now October. 10 months the Lord has kept you. 10 months the Lord has preserved you. He has preserved me. Why don't you lift up your right hand to heaven? Lift up your right hand to heaven. And say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Jehovah, I give you praise. Just thank him for one or two things you can recall in your mind. Thank him. He's a good God. He's a good God. He is good. His mercies endures forever. His mercies endures forever. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen. Today, you know, one of the things that I've observed is that for a lot of us, one of the reasons we cannot give thanks is because of what we're looking at. Amen. The things that God had done, you celebrated when he did it. But now that you have moved from there, and the things you are looking at now are not the way you would like them to be, and therefore, you don't see a reason to give thanks. A few years back, the Lord said to me, he said, whatsoever you thank me for will get better. Whatever you thank me for, it will get better. And I've learned that ever since then. It's been a few years now, and I've learned to thank God no matter what. And that is the title of my sermon this morning. Be thankful while waiting for his promises to be fulfilled. The waiting period is a difficult time. A lot of people cannot wait, especially in the world that we live in now. Everything is supersonic speed. You know, fast food, and they have a drive-through marriage booth now. You know, you can just drive through and say, you love her, yes. You love him, yeah. You want to be married, yes. I join your husband, and I say, thank you, boom. They're married. You know, everything is instant. Instant coffee, instant everything. So that's the mindset we have. And anytime we ask or we pray, we believe God for something, and it doesn't happen immediately, we are disappointed and we are frustrated. Please open your Bibles with me this morning to Psalm 100. And we're going to read from verse 1 through 5. Psalm 100 from verse 1 to 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Friends, this morning I want to say to you that it is the duty of every one of us to give thanks to God. It is your duty to praise God. It is my duty to praise God. And my praising God is not dependent on what is happening or what is not happening. It's not dependent on how I feel or how I don't feel. It is a duty that has been bestowed upon me. You know, I've been trying to remember this story, but I can't remember it. But I have an idea of how the thing goes, but I don't remember the details. So I'm just going to give you a rough idea. And if you know the story, just wave at me. I'll let you come tell it. There's a story that I heard many years ago of a pastor that no matter what you say to him, his response is always, it could have been worse. You know the story? Anybody? You know the story? Elvis, are you sure? Come tell it quickly. You don't want to tell it? Okay. Every time I go wrong, just do this. You know, it doesn't matter what you bring to him. He will say, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. And the story was told that one day they finally came to him and they told him that his son was at the ER because he was run over by some bikers or something to that effect, you know. And when they got to him, guess what? He said it could have been worse, you know. And he went to the hospital and what have you, and did everything. That's the part that I don't remember anymore. But it turns out in the story that the fact that they hit the son and he had to be taken to the hospital turned out to be a blessing. Because the truth of what would have happened had the accident not happened now came out. You know, and so don't mind me the way I told the story. You know, but that's the gist of the story. I've been trying for like 2 weeks to remember, but it's not coming back to me. But the truth of the matter is, wherever you are today, it could be worse. Praise the Lord. You know, there are some people that will complain that, oh, my shoe is so old. In fact, it has holes in it. Some people don't even have shoes. In fact, the complaint of others is not that their shoes are old or have holes in them. It's because it's not a name brand. Say, this is the first time in a long time that I will wear a shoe that doesn't have a name. It has a name. You just don't like the name. Because somebody made it. And the person that made those shoes, they put their name on it. It's just not the kind of name that you want. Say, I always wear Hugo Boss. Okay, this is not Hugo Boss. This is Boss Hugo. You know, it could be worse. It could be worse. I remember as a young man, wanted to look good, you know, be nice, you know, marry a good wife and all of these things. So you had to do what you had to do. You know, for me, you know, my friends back then, they could buy those expensive colognes and everything, but I couldn't afford it. But then I found out that they were making some alternatives, you know, alternative to Hugo Boss, alternative to Armani. So I bought the alternative. The difference between the alternative and the real deal is the alternative, you have to retouch, you have to reapply. You know, so I just carried it around. I put it in my pocket. You know, so when I see that, okay, this thing, I myself can't even smell it on myself anymore. I just retouch. Friends, it could be worse. It could be worse. God is good to you. God has been good to you. God has preserved you. There are some people that are looking at you today that wish they have your life. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord. Somebody, you know, a lot of times when people are looking for a scripture on praise and thanksgiving, where did they go? In the Bible. In the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Because David had some unique encounters with God that established for him as a person that this God is a good God. And it really did not matter what his life was about. He was happy with God. Many people are angry at God today because they have not gotten what they desire to have from God. They have been waiting and trusting. Prophecies have come. People have said all kinds of things. You know, remember what Pastor Joyce told us? He said, put down the dagger. You know, at the end of last year. Yeah, put down the dagger. Because of the prophecies that the prophecy, this year is going to be the best year of your life. And nothing happened. You know, over the years you have had, and you have become frustrated, almost angry at God. But David understood this God. The Bible says in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know why he was able to write that? Because when everybody was enjoying at home, he was on the backside of the desert, a shepherd. If you know Bible history or to any extent, you will know that being a shepherd was not an exciting job. It wasn't, it's like, I don't know, I don't want to mention anything because somebody might be doing such a job today. You know, but there are certain jobs in the society today that are not, you know, nobody wants to do that. You just do it to survive in the meantime. That was kind of what being a shepherd was. But David, on the backside of the desert, even though his life was not exactly what he wanted it to be, he realized that it could have been worse. The Lord is my shepherd. And as I am in the backside of this desert, I am not lacking or wanting anything. Why? Because the Lord is providing for me. He says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Amen. He says, he filleth my cup runs over. Why? He understood that God is a good God. Is a good God. In Psalm 34 and verse 1, Psalm 34 and verse 1, David said, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Somebody said that. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see that? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What he's saying is, in good times, I will bless the Lord. In bad times, I will bless the Lord. When the lion comes, I will bless the Lord. When the bear comes, I will bless the Lord. Why? Because I understand that the God that I serve is a deliverer. Is a deliverer. Yes. You know, the lions of this life are things that want to choke life out of you. If you have ever seen Animal Channel or all those channels where they show animals in the wild and all of those things. You see a lion, when a lion knocks down its prey, the first thing it goes for is the jugular. It chokes the prey to death. Everything that is trying to choke you to death, the Lord will give you deliverance over them. In the mighty name of Jesus. But you must understand that it is in your thanksgiving that the deliverance will come. It is in your praise that the deliverance will come. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas in prison. He said at midnight they prayed, and then they began to praise God. The Bible says, and the other prisoners heard them. So it was not a mutter. They were not muttering. They were not, you know, that's the prayer of some people. I tell my children, that's not prayer. It's not prayer. When you are praying, you are making audible sound. You know, you are going. You are not praying. You say, well, I'm praying in my heart. It's a lie. It's a lie. I found it to be true. Or some people, they go. Say what you have to say. Your head shaking is not what is telling God what is in your heart. You know, or you go. It's a lie. Talk. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. The Bible says anyone that names the Lord, he said they must not keep silent. That's what the scripture says. He said they must not keep silent. Oh, Oluwa, 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 Father, 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 Father. What's Father, 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 Father? He says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. His praise will continue to be in my mouth. He said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. He's saying that regardless of my circumstances, I will give God praise. No matter what I go through, I will give God praise. Friends, I pray that God will help us to develop an attitude of praise. An attitude of praise. An attitude of praise. Regardless of the situation. You know, when something good happens, it is easy to praise God. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you come back home and you go check your grades and everything is A. You made A's. Even that class that was difficult that you thought you wouldn't make it. You say, she's doing her praise dance already in advance of the grade. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what do you do? No, you won't come with D. While you are waiting. That's where we're going today. What do you do while you wait? What do you do while you wait? The Bible says in Psalm 89 and verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. If believers will make known of the faithfulness of God, there will be many more believers in the world today. The problem with a lot of us believers, the only things we talk about are the things that are not working. So imagine that fellow that is not saved, that fellow that does not know God, that all they hear you talk about is the things that are not working. You know, and then you turn around and tell them, God is good, come to God. He said, which God? He said, I'm doing better on my own without your God. He says, I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Everywhere I go, whoever I meet, I'm going to tell them how faithful God has been in my life. That's what he's saying. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to make a couple of statements very quickly, and then we dig in deep into this right now. Listen, God's promises shall be fulfilled in your life, even though it may seem delayed. Even though there's a delay, I don't know how long you've been waiting, but you have prayed and you have fasted, you have done anything. How about you begin to thank him for it? Listen to me. You see, our prayers sometimes is evidence of our lack of faith. Think about it. I have prayed. The Bible says when we pray, we ask believing. Yes, we ask believing. So if I have prayed, I have asked, and I believe that God has heard me, why am I still asking? So you ask me, say, Pastor, you know, I'm in a difficult place right now. I need some money, you know, I need $1,000, and I write you a check for $10,000. I hate giving useless example. So you need $10. I give you $20. No, that's not me. You need $1,000. I give you $10,000. In the name of Jesus. So I write a check of $10,000 for you. The check is in your hand. You are going to cash it tomorrow. And you are still asking me, so Pastor, that's $1,000. You'll be lucky if I don't slap the person. You asked for $1,000. I gave you $10,000. What's your problem? You know, or you are still going about moody and you are still having an attitude going all over the place. Whoever gave you that promise will just be upset with you. So sometimes it makes us feel good that we are praying. Oh, I am praying. But your prayer is actually evidence of your lack of faith. If God has said he will do it, he will do what he has said he will do. He's not man that he will lie, neither the son of man that he will repent. A child of God may experience a delayed promise, but God will see him through, provided he does not sin against God. Listen to me. James 4:17. The Bible says, whoever knows to do good, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Every disobedience, please say this with me, every disobedience, is sin. Every disobedience, anytime God speaks to you, God gives you an instruction and you disobey, you are living in sin. You know, people are waiting for, in quote, big sin. Fornication, adultery, stealing, that's what we consider as sin. Even though they are, of course, they are sin, very sin, very, they can't be more sin than that. Amen. But every disobedience is a sin. The Bible says, for to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, he said, to him it is sin. Sin is one thing that will keep your testimony delayed as long as you continue to walk in sin. It puts a wedge in the wheel of the progress of wheel of progress of that individual's life. You know the story very well. God promised the children of Israel. He promised them a land that he would take them to a land. They got to Egypt. Joseph was a significant man in Egypt. He made life very good for them. They were very comfortable. They forgot about God. They forgot about God. They forgot about God. May you not forget God. In the name of Jesus. Lack of faith will rob you of the fulfillment of God's promises in your life. Lack of faith. Let's open to Genesis chapter 48, and I'll read 20 to 22. Genesis 48, 20 to 22. It says, and he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless. In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the land of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. You know, Joseph absolutely believed in the promise of God, and he acted upon it. He acted upon it. Egypt was very good when Joseph was around. The Bible says there was another king that came that did not acknowledge Joseph. He said a Pharaoh came that did not know Joseph. That's a lie. Which Pharaoh didn't know Joseph? The story of Joseph is still in the annals of Egypt. Till today, the record is there. Amen. He knew him, but he disregarded Joseph. Everything that is disregarding the authority of God in your life, God will put them to shame. Amen. Amen. He disregarded the authority of God. That's all that happened. He didn't know Joseph. He knew Joseph. He knew Joseph very well. Knew Joseph very well. But he disregarded Joseph. Everything that is trying to make God irrelevant in your life, God will prove himself in your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A lack of faith is very costly. A lack of faith. Sometimes the prayer we pray, we are praying out of fear. The prayer is not a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of fear. You know, because you are afraid. Oh Lord, don't let this happen so that this does not happen. No. Pray that the will of God be done in your life. That the purpose of God be established in your life. Everything that rises up against you will fall for your sake. That's what the scripture says. Every weapon that is formed or fashioned against you, the Bible says, he shall not prosper. That is the word of God. That is the word of the Lord. Amen. Because Joseph knew this, Joseph told them, he said, look, I know one day God will take you to that promised land. He said, where you are going, pack my bones with you. Amen. He said, I know life is good now, but there's a day that God is coming to deliver you from this land. And when you are going into that promised land, I want you to take my dead bones with you. Listen to me. If the bones of a dead man will fulfill the promise of God, how about you that you are living and breathing and walking around and you are a child of God? This is based on the old promise. You have a new promise. Why will the promises of God not be fulfilled in your life? I want you to stand to your feet and just thank God in advance, because the credit of God is good. I want you to just magnify the Lord this morning. I want you to just exalt him. Remember, it's not prayer. Talk to him. Verbalize the thanksgiving this morning. Say, Father, I thank you. Jehovah, I give you praise. You are the one that is at work in my life, both to will and to do of your own good pleasure. In the name of Jesus. Yet it may be delayed, but it's not a denial. I know my answer. I know my miracle is around the corner. In the name of Jesus. Around the corner. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank you for all things, because in your time you make all things beautiful. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please be seated. The Lord will perfect everything concerning you. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will perfect everything concerning you. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me, brethren. God is not on your time schedule. The way some people pray is nothing short of disrespect to the Almighty God. Father, come on, do it now. When did God become your common? The Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. When did he become your common? It's bingo, you tell, come on, come on, bingo, bingo, come on, bingo, bingo. It's your dog, you say that to your dog. You don't say that to God. You got to show God respect in the place of prayer. Amen? God is not your common, he's not your errand boy. No, he's not. He's the Almighty God. He's the all and the mighty God. Hallelujah. Amen? God is not on my time schedule, neither is he on your time schedule. The realm in which God lives is the realm of eternity where there is no time. There's no time. The Bible says in Psalm 90 and verse 4, Psalm 90 and verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Guess what? When you are praying and God says, give me a minute. Do the math. So don't be frustrated or flustered that it's taking long. He said 1,000 years to him is like but a watch in the night, a moment in time. Give thanks to him. He's the same God that did it before. He will do it again. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let me skip very quickly. I'm skipping a lot of things because of time now. When should I give thanks? When should I give thanks? All the time. All the time. Please open to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, and we're going to read from verse 3 to 6. I give thanks unto the Lord when it is well with me. Say, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. When should I give thanks? Always. When it is well, I give thanks unto the Lord. The Bible is telling us here that all you need to do is pay attention to his creation and pay attention to his universe. And this God that created all of these things is mindful of you, is paying attention to you, is paying attention to me. I am not forgotten. There's a song that we used to sing. I don't know why we don't sing it anymore. I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. God knows my name. He knows my name. Okay. He knows my name. He knows my name. God knows you as an individual. You are not just one from an assembly line. He knows your name. He knows your name. If all the billions upon billions upon billions of stars, he has named them all, come on now. He knows you. He knows me. And that fact alone, come on, you should give him thanks. You should give him thanks. You should glorify his name. You know, some of us, if you have a direct line to the White House, you know, you are in service. The president is on the call, on the phone. You will quickly excuse yourself. You won't say, oh, no, I'm before God. There's a movie, not movie, there's a video clip I saw. Some guy, they were doing maybe deliverance prayer. I don't know what kind of prayer. They were praying for him, in short. And as they were praying for him, his phone was ringing. So he picked the phone. He said, I'm under anointing. I'm under anointing. Call me back. I'm under anointing. It just shows the ridiculousness of many of us. You know, wait. Before you laugh at that guy, you know, when you are praying and your phone is dinging, you are looking at the notification. Father, I thank you. I thank you. Thank you. You are looking at what notification you have on your phone. And you are not different from that guy. You are telling God, hold on. Let me. Oh, okay. I can't take this text now because I'm under anointing. But you checked it. I'm under anointing. When should I give thanks? All times. All times. When it is well, I give him thanks. When things are going exactly the way I have planned, I must give him thanks. When I feel disappointed and abandoned or rejected by God, I must give him thanks. Job chapter 19, 25 and 26. Job 19, 25 and 26. I pray that none of us will experience what Job experienced. Those things are good to read about and talk about. You know, he lost everything. He did this. God forbid that it happens to you. Listen to Job. He said, for I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, he said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He's saying, I know my Redeemer liveth. The question I have is, what do you know? Many people, all they know is their problem. They don't know what God has said about their situation. Many people, what they know is what they are going through. They don't know what God has said about them. Job is saying, he said, I know my Redeemer lives, and even though he may slay me, yet will I serve him. Yet will I seek him. Yes, will I follow after him. Why? Because he is alive. I know he's able to do something for me. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Kings, when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal. Amen. He said, let everybody cry unto their God. He said, the God that can answer by fire, that is the real God. That is the God that is for real. That is the God that has power. And the Baal prophets, because their God is an imagination of their mind, is an image they have created for themselves. And the reason people create an image of God for themselves is because they want a God they can control. A God that they can tell what they want to do. And if you have a graven image, can he respond and say, no, don't do that? He can't. But we serve the living God. We serve the King of glory, the creator of the heavens and the earth. The I am that I am, the one who was, the one who is, the one that will be forevermore. The Bible says the prophets of Baal, they cried, they cut themselves, they bled, and all of these things, nothing happened. But guess what? The prophet of God, Elijah, he said, pour water upon the sacrifice. Amen. They poured water, and he cried unto God, and the fire came from heaven and consumed the water and the sacrifice. Why? Because you can only call a God that is living and he will respond. A dead God cannot respond to your call. That is what Job is saying. He said, because I know my Redeemer lives, I know the time may be rough, but I know he's taking me to somewhere great. I know he's taking me to a great place, and he will take you to a great place. In the name of Jesus. When should I give thanks? I must give thanks when I'm experiencing delay. In Acts 16 that I mentioned earlier, the Bible says, you know, they've locked them in prison. They were there to do the work of the ministry. Amen? And they had prayed. Nothing happened. So they said, well, while we wait for the manifestation of answers to the prayer because they know that God has answered, he has heard their prayer, and the Bible says when he hears, he will answer. So if you know that God has heard you, then that is the time to start giving thanks. Do you know thanksgiving is a form of prayer? It is a form of prayer. You begin to celebrate. You begin to give him glory. You begin to say, Lord, I know that you are the Redeemer that lives. Listen, there was a lady that shared a testimony. I went to do the baby naming ceremony. She had come here last year, and I remember that Bible study very clearly. During Bible study, she said, there's something I have been asking God for that God has not given me. He said, but I have gotten to a point now that whether or not God does it for me, it's okay. You remember. He said, whether or not God does it for me, it's okay. I'm fine. Because I know I have gotten to a place with God that I'm no longer moved by whether this happens or that happens. But guess what? While she was saying that, what she was believing God for was the fruit of the womb. Had been married for about 10 years or more. And no child. While she was declaring that here, unknown to herself, she was already pregnant. She was already pregnant. When you get to a point that you are not moved by the ephemeral things, the problem with a lot of people is what we can see, touch, and feel, what we will eat, what we will wear, where we will live. Those are the things that are important to us. That is why the enemy can capture people in depression. Nobody is ever depressed because they cannot evangelize. People are depressed because they can't have the stuff that the other person has. Nobody is ever depressed because, I'm not really doing the will of God. I really need to do. No, nobody is depressed over that. They are depressed because they cannot get promotion. Amen. So when there is a delay and you have prayed, begin to give him praise. Begin to give him praise. Begin to magnify his name because he's a good God. Listen to this. The Bible says in Proverbs 15 and verse 8, Proverbs 15 and verse 8, it said, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Is his delight. Let me conclude by saying this. While waiting on God's promises, you need two things. And I want you to write these two things down. Anytime there's a delay, you need two things. Maybe more, but I want to focus on these two things today. Very quickly. Number one thing you need determination. Look at your neighbor and preach to them. Say, you need determination. You cannot overcome obstacles without being determined to avoid distractions. Listen, the enemy will always throw you a curveball. Always. It will always send you things to distract you from the purpose of God for your life. Have you noticed every time you determine that, you know what, I'm going to do this and do that for God. What happens? Distractions. Things begin to happen. You say, I will have done it. It's because of this, my children now. Distraction. Distraction. You must make up your mind and say, okay, this is what I am going to do. And whether the devil likes it or not, that is exactly what I'm going to do. You need determination. Remember the story of David in 1 Samuel 16. The Bible says the father told him, he said, take this food to your brothers in battle. And he went to battle. And when he got there, guess what? He saw Goliath railing abuses on the God of Israel. He was not angry because of the people. He was angry on the behalf of God. That who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is speaking such nonsense against the God of heaven and earth? But guess what? He decided I was going to do something about it. The brother said, I know you. I know you. You came to watch the battle. That's why you came. He said, me? Is there not a cause? There's a reason why I'm here. There's a reason why I came here. I did not come here just because I wanted to. I came here because there was a mission for me. There are some of you, there is a reason why you are here in Salvation Center San Antonio at this point in time. Are you fulfilling that mission? Why God has sent you here? You need determination. There will always be things to distract you. Every time. Hello? 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 Everybody. How many of us? Every day you are just excited to go to work. Every day you just wake up and you just say, let me just go do it again. Every day you like to go. Okay, you are different. When you start working for real, trust me. Because she's a student. When you say, I'm serious. Okay. As much as I love God, you think it's every day I love to come? Some days I'm just tired. I say, Lord, you have called me, I will go. And I know you will help me. Praise the Lord. And you know what? I have noticed, as my wife, I have noticed over time that the days that I don't feel like is usually the best days. Because God has something in mind he wanted to do, and the devil doesn't want it to come forth. Amen? Since you joined choir, it's just been easy for you to make practice. You just come. No, there will always be distraction. Every time you make up your mind to do something for God, there will be things to distract you. Number one is determination. Somebody say determination. The woman with the issue of blood was determined. There was the crowd that would not let her get to Jesus. But she made up her mind. If I can but just touch the hem of his garment, everything will be all right. Hallelujah. And you remember, Brother Moses and I disagree on this one. In Matthew 9:1-8, you know, the Bible talks about those four friends that brought their lame friend to Jesus. They tore up the roof and lowered their friend to meet. The crowd was not enough to prevent them from doing what they have proposed to do. While you wait, you must be determined and you must be focused. Number two, as I close, you must partner with God. You must partner with God. Why should I partner with God? Very simple. God is immovable. God is unshakable. God is not wishy-washy. He's not this way today and that way tomorrow. He's unchanging. He's stable. He's constant. He's the same every day, every time. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that he said, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You must partner with him. Partner with the owner and the creator of the universe. He's unchangeable. His promise to you his promise to Joshua is a confirmation that with God on our side, no obstacle should and can't stop us. Joshua 1:5, God told him, say, be bold, be strong, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Said, and there shall not be any man that will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake you. This is the word of God for somebody here today. You must learn to hold on to God. The problem is many people, they are holding on to God and their uncle and their friend and their this. Partner with God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Listen to me. When you partner with God, one thing you are guaranteed is God is ready to help you. And he will help you. How do you know when you are partnering with God? Listen. Listen up, listen up, listen up. When you are partnering with God, you cannot walk like this. Because your posture told your story already. You can come back and say, oh, I believe God. We know you don't. Because the problem is weighing you down already. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you are smiling and giving praise, you are not acting. You are not doing make-believe. Let it come from your heart, from a knowing. That's what Job said. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. He said, I have partnered with the Most High God, and I know he will bring me through this situation. And he will do the same for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Psalm 121, the Bible says, lift up your high, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. He didn't say lift down your eyes or push down. He said lift up. I will lift up my eyes. Up. I'm looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Please rise to your feet this morning. Give thanks while you wait. Give thanks while you wait. Why don't you just thank him this morning? God's delays are not denials. Hold on, the promise will surely come. His timing is always perfect. Keep nurturing his promises in your life with his word and prayer and thanksgiving, no matter what comes your way and how long it takes. Just give him praise. Thank him. Glorify him. For the Lord is good and his mercies endures forever. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, mighty God. We give you glory, King of glory. We magnify your name. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Say, Lord, I thank you in spite of everything. I thank you in spite of my situation. I thank you in spite of everything the enemy has thrown at me. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him glory. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer. He's alive. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. He's alive. He is God. And besides him, there is none else. He alone is God. And there is none besides him. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. Jehovah, we give you thanks. Lord, we know life is in phases and in stages. Daddy, we thank you for the phase and the stage where we are in at this time. Lord, we know your word says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They are thoughts of good, not of evil. To bring you to an expected end. Therefore, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all things. We thank you for those things that you have done. We thank you for those things that you have not allowed to happen to us. We thank you for those things that you will yet do. That we glorify your name. Above all, Lord, we thank you for the salvation of our soul. We give you glory. We give you praise. We say, be thou exalted forever. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.